If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to begin in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Book of Matthew, chapter 7. I guess I'm not the only one that this yellow snow has gotten to this week, huh? It's the price we pay for beautiful spring weather God sent our direction. Matthew, chapter number 7. Before we get started, I want to ask a question, make an illustration, however you want to put it. Any of y'all in here gamblers? Big time gamblers? Nobody? Man, just knew I'd have one in the church house. Why is it a dangerous thing to gamble? What is it to gamble? It's to make a guess, make a prediction. It's to run the odds. It's to take a chance, right? Is there any form of gambling that is a guaranteed moneymaker? Stay at the house. That's right. If there was a part of gambling that was a guaranteed moneymaker, it wouldn't be called gambling. Gambling involves some sort of risk. There's some sort of winner and there's some sort of loser every time. There's a risk, there's a winner, there's a loser. With me so far? Whenever you gamble, there's what they call odds. That's your chances of winning, your chances of losing. The higher your chances of winning, the more likely you are to be the winner. However, there is always that risk. Your chances of winning are never 100%. Can we agree on that? When you gamble, your chances of winning are never 100%. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called gambling. Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 7, and we're going to drop down verse number 20 and begin reading. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 20, he said, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Back up at the beginning of chapter 7. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," verse 13. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many," save that word right there, "many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few," save that word, "few there be that find it." Now back in this day, the word "many," where it was translated from, it means more than half of the majority. So half of is 25%. More than that beyond majority is 51. So that's 76%. So the word "many" infers somewhere in the vicinity of 76%. The word "few" comes from the same thing deducted in the backwards direction. So it is half of half minus the majority. That's 24%. Now we're going to take an assumption and assume that because we're in a church and we're not at a football game, that there's more saved people here than there would be at a football game. Can we make that assumption? Maybe. Maybe. So let's do this. Let's take it and split the difference right down the middle. There's a 50-50 shot that you and the person sitting next to you are saved, statistically speaking. 50-50 shot that you and the person sitting next to you are saved. Fifty-fifty sounds like really good odds, don't it? A lot of times we read this and we don't realize exactly what these people are telling Jesus. They said, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" These people were prophets. These people were teachers. These people were preachers. They said, "Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful, mighty, awesome, great works in your name?" These people were missionaries. These people were evangelists. These people were deacons. These people were Sunday school teachers. And you're going to sit there and guarantee me that you're saved? I want you to hold on to that presumption just for a minute. Assuming that Jesus is not lying to us. Can we make that assumption? Assuming that Jesus is not lying to us in a crowd of of random people. There's going to be a majority that are lost and bound for hell, and there's going to be a minority that are bound for heaven. We are not a random crowd of people. We are all church people, so we're going to assume that number is significantly higher. Even still, look to the person to your right. Look to the person to your left. Chances are one of them is going to hell, statistically. Look to the person to your right and look to the person to your left. And if you think, well, he's definitely saved. Tucker, if you're looking at your grandma and you say, oh, she's took care of. If you're looking at the person next to you and say, oh, she's good. And you look at the person on the other side of them and you say, she's good. Who's that lean? One in three. One in three in the Baptist church. Those are terrible, terrible, terrible odds. Terrible odds. This morning, if you're here and you believe that you're saved, you're gambling with your eternity. If you're here and you believe that you're saved and you think that you're saved, you're gambling with your eternity. This morning, if you're here and you're not sure if you're saved or not, you're gambling with your eternity. It's easy to lose. It's hard to recover from that loss. Does that make sense? It's easy to lose. It's hard to recover from that loss. But if you lose in salvation, there's no recovering. There's no coming back. There's no almost. There's no part of the way. There's no, I'm going to bring me a shovel to hell and dig my way out. There's none of that. And this morning, I'm not trying to scare you, but these people went all of their life believing they were saved and they woke up in hell. Can we get that through our head? Because we're stubborn, Brother Dean. And I'm going to run over the Sunday school lesson a little bit. You said this morning that stubbornness is a terrible trait, right? Borderline sinful in places. This morning, we are so stubborn in the fact that I'm holding on to my birthplace. I have a birthplace. I have a birthplace. But if you miss Jesus, you're going to hell. But I felt this. But I felt this. But if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. Well, this preacher told me, and I don't think Emily would mind me sharing it. My wife had an experience when she was a kid. She was baptized into the church. She was a member of the church for 10 years, 11 years, 12 years. Until the Lord let her know without a shadow of a doubt that she was lost. She believed it. You couldn't convince her otherwise. For 10 years of her life, she played worship music in church. We got to Louisiana Tech, and where I was the one who was making excuses not to go to church. She brought her guitar and played guitar for South Campus Bible Study that met on Thursday nights. If you would have looked at the two of us, she was significantly closer to God than I was. She was the one that wasn't saved. This morning, I want you to forget about Just for a minute and bear with me. I want you to forget about whether or not you had a feeling for salvation. I want you to forget about whether or not you can remember the day, the time, and the place. I want you to forget about what the weather may have been like that day, who you were sitting in front of or behind. And I want you to focus 100% on Jesus Christ. Just for a minute. Some of you in here have shared your testimony with me, and I really appreciate it. Some of you's told me where you got saved. Every time I drive by, I look up on that hill and I think of that. People all down through the ages of time has had experiences. And they have prayed prayers. But they missed Jesus. And they woke up in hell and they said, God, didn't I do all this in your name? God, I was in church all the time. God, I taught Sunday school. It doesn't matter. For salvation, it doesn't matter. For salvation, it's all or nothing. You're either right or you're wrong. I had a roommate in college, he played the lottery. And if you get a couple of the numbers right in the lottery, you know you can win a little bit of money. I think there's, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, there's a string of numbers. And if you get a few of those numbers right, you can win a little bit of money. You get all the numbers right, you win a lot of money, right? He explained this to me. I still couldn't fathom throwing money away at a one millionth of a chance to win. Look, in playing the lottery, you can be almost right and still win. In playing with eternity, you can't be almost right. You can't be part of the way there. You can't be close and still get to heaven. Because there's going to be a lot of people to wake up in judgment and say, God, I thought I was okay. God, I thought I was saved. God, I thought this was taken care of. God, I convinced myself. And it don't matter if you miss Jesus. Raise your hand if you would like to gamble with eternity. Anybody? Because it's forever. It's done. Right? Completely and totally done. Finished. When you close your eyes in death, that's it. There's no more going back. There's no more changing numbers. There's no more almost part of the way. Perhaps one day. That's it. It's done. So this morning, if you're sitting here and you believe that you're saved and you think you're saved, I want to challenge you just for a minute. How sure are you? How sure are you? A man one time tried to talk me out of my salvation one time. He came to me and he said, tell me about the time you were saved. I told him about the time I was saved. He said, that wasn't really Jesus. That wasn't an experience with Jesus. That was just the devil giving you a good feeling. That way you were sitting in church. That was just him giving you a good feeling. How much fruit have you borne? And he looked at me and he said, there's no way in the world you're saved. It can't be that easy. He looked at me and he said, there's no way that you believed in Jesus just like that. Salvation requires something. Salvation requires an emotion. He looked at me and said, did you cry? I said, no, I don't cry. He said, if you didn't get saved, because if you experienced Jesus, you would have cried. He looked at me and said, did you run up to that pulpit and fall down on you in front of that altar at your knees and scream and pray to Jesus to save you? I said, no, sir. He said, if you didn't get saved. He said, because you got to do that. He said, did you repent out loud of your sins, confessing your sins before the church? I said, no, sir. He said, then you didn't get saved, because that's what you're supposed to do. Go read your Bible. It says, confess your faults one to another. This man sat there for 15 minutes. He had me wondering, but there. He had me wondering. You know how he done it? He took verses of scripture out of context. I took it out. He said, were you baptized in the name of Jesus? And I said, I think I was. He said, do you remember what that preacher said when he baptized you? I said, no, not particularly. I was freezing to death. That creek was so cold. He said, well, if you weren't baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not really saved. This morning, how sure are you saved? How sure are you? Because if you're going to gamble with eternity, it's yes or no. It's all or nothing. It's you have Jesus or you don't. There's no middle ground. There's no almost, there's no part of the way. There's no maybe I'll get there a little later. There's no maybe I'll grow up. I told y'all I used to mow grass in a cemetery. Every size grave that you can imagine is there. Every age of person that you can imagine is in a hospital right now. People your age will die today. People younger than you will die today. And they will stand before God in judgment. And God will either say, welcome home, or depart from me, I never knew you. This morning, if you were to stand before God in judgment, what would he say? How sure are you, you say? Go to Zechariah chapter number 9 just for a minute. Tales of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Zechariah 9:9, he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh to thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. I underlined in my Bible, just and having salvation. I've studied and looked into the week before Easter a couple of times, and it's a very interesting study, but These people went from shouting Hosanna, running down the streets and worshiping Christ to bawling and crying because he'd been crucified a few days later. And as many times as I read over this, I missed this saying that he is just. The King Jesus, he is just. Meaning that he will not cheat you. He will not cheat you. I lost a coin flip one time because it was a double-sided coin. I guess tails. There was heads on both sides. There was no way that I could win that. Thank God eternity ain't that way. With Jesus, you either have him or you don't. Jesus came into Jerusalem. At that time, he was just and he was having salvation. The plan of salvation was already written. It was already done. It was already figured out. And then there was the cross. And then there was the grave. But the common denominator with the entire walk to Easter is Jesus. You know the only thing required for your salvation? Two things. I don't want to get misunderstood. One requirement for you to be saved from a devil's hell was for Jesus to die and shed his blood. Without blood, there's no remission of sin. That's one requirement. Jesus fulfilled his side of it. He's not going to come die again. He didn't not quite shed enough blood for all of us. And he didn't shed his blood for just a few individual chosen of us. That's all hogwash. Jesus shed his blood for all of us. That's all of you, all of me, and all of everybody else included. But there's another responsibility in salvation. Two responsibilities. Jesus fulfilled his. The others is your responsibility in salvation. You know what your responsibility in salvation is? To believe the account of what Jesus did. Repent of your sins and accept him as a Savior. It's faith. It's faith. That's it. It's faith. If you stand up in front of people and you do a trust fall, eventually somebody's going to let you down. Right? Eventually somebody's not going to catch you. A friend is going to think it's funny. They're going to get distracted and walk away. You're going to fall forward, not backwards. Eventually you're going to get let down. Jesus said never. Jesus said those that are given to him, those that are his responsibility, no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. Salvation is forever. Salvation is guaranteed. And, well, let's go ahead and go read it. Let's go to John. We all know those scriptures, right? John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, what can I do? I don't understand this. Jesus said, you must be born again. In verse 15, he says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That son, that Jesus that was lifted up on the cross, whosoever believeth in him. There's two different arguments on this, and I've heard both of them, and I don't like either one of them. People say that if you can believe on Jesus and not repent of your sin, do you believe that is true? Can you believe what Jesus did and not repent of your sin? It's a good question, ain't it? Can you believe that Jesus came, bore your sin on a cross, was judged for your sin at Calvary, and not repent of your sin? Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, Mother Terry, that whosoever, Miss Linda, that whosoever, Brother Josh, that whosoever, Sister Dana, that whosoever, Brother Dean, and so forth and so on until everybody's name is called, so that you as an adult, so that you as a kid, so that you as whoever you may be, so that you could believe in him and have everlasting life. So that you can believe in him. Believing in Jesus is repenting of your sin. Believing in Jesus is repenting of your sin. Believing in Jesus is believing that he came to die for me. Believing in Jesus is believing that he came as a perfect sacrifice because nothing in me is perfect. Believing in Jesus is believing that he conquered death, that he bore my sin, and that he rose again, that through his resurrection, I could have eternal life. That is what believing in Jesus is. If you don't have that, you don't have nothing. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. 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 Zeros. This morning, do you believe in Jesus? Do you have Jesus? I want to turn and read one more spot in Matthew chapter 7. It's the first verse that we read whenever we got started tonight, this morning. He said in verse 20, he said, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." If you have Jesus, you are changed. If you have Jesus, you are different. It is impossible to have a new relationship with God and not have a new relationship with sin. Because if you have a new relationship with God, that sin that you once loved, you now have to hate. There's no other option. You can desire it. You can lust after it because there's a battle going on inside. But you're convicted. And you now hate it. It is impossible to have a new relationship with God without first having a new relationship with sin. He said, "Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them." This morning, there is nothing in this world more important than you knowing that you're saved. So many times we'll say that you have to be saved. That's the most important thing, is being saved. A step further is knowing that you're saved. Knowing without a shadow of a doubt. Knowing that by evidence. Evidence. Prove it. Right? Ain't that what the math teachers say? You write something on the board and say, "Miss Susie," that was my high school math teacher, "Miss Susie, I got the answer." She said, "Can you prove it?" I said, "No." She said, "Oh, how do I know you didn't cheat?" Ain't no cheating in heaven. There ain't no skipping by. There's one way. That is Jesus Christ. And there is no alternative. And so if you are saved, has your life proven it? Are you fruitful? Jesus said, and he wouldn't lie to us, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Are you bearing fruit? And I'm not saying you can't backslide. I have been there. If you hadn't been there yet, chances are you're headed there. We can backslide. We can mess up. It happens to every single one of us. But are you different? Are you changed? Paul said we are a new creature. If nothing changed, then nothing changed. Does that make sense? If nothing changed in your life, then nothing changed in your heart. Because you can't have Jesus and not change. You know the reason I don't believe in Darwinism? Some of y'all know what Darwinism is. You know the reason I don't believe? It contradicts the Bible. Right? Now, I don't believe that we evolved from monkeys because I've never seen a monkey that was half monkey and half person. I've never seen it. I've seen tadpoles. I watch tadpoles go from little bitty dots on a pond to frogs. And you can see them every step of the way. It's documented. You know that they evolved from an egg to a frog. You know that happens. Because you can see it. There's evidence of it. Where's the evidence of your salvation? Where is the evidence of your salvation? And I'm not talking about picking a spot in a pew and planting there. I'm talking about real evidence in your life of salvation. Real evidence in your life of being a new creature. Real evidence in your life of Jesus showing up. Because everywhere he went, guess what? He left a mark. Go follow his journey. Everywhere that Jesus went, he left a mark. He didn't go somewhere and hide and just all of a sudden, you know, nobody know where he was. He didn't do some miraculous thing and then nobody talk about it. Every place that Jesus went, he left a mark.
If Jesus went in your heart, he left a mark.
If Jesus is in your life, he's leaving a mark. Are you sure you're saved? There are people that's going to wake up in heaven. No, they're not going to wake up in heaven. They're going to wake up at the judgment. And they're going to wake up and they're going to stand before God. And I've always envisioned God being big. So they're going to look up at God and say, God, I was a worker for you. I was in church all the time. God, I was an officer. I came to Sunday school. God, I prayed a prayer. God, I knew that you always existed. God, I tried really hard to work for you. I read my Bible once, maybe twice a month. I prayed too. That God is great, God is good before every meal. God's going to say, depart from me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, you did all of this and you had all of this, but you missed one thing. You missed one thing. You missed Jesus. You missed Jesus. This morning you can have everything that this world has to offer. Religiously, and I don't like religion. I really don't. It gives God a bad name. But religiously, you can have all the boxes checked. You can have all of the boxes checked. But if you miss Jesus, you missed everything. This morning, I want to introduce you to this man, Jesus Christ. About this time, a couple thousand years ago, he rode into Jerusalem. Knowing that this was going to be his last trip. Knowing that this was it, that this was the end, that it was done afterwards. Knowing that whenever he got there, he was going to have his hands stuck to a cross. Knowing that he was going to be whipped, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be crucified. Knowing that he was going to have to die. He saw it coming. There was a 100% chance. Whenever Jesus came to this earth, 100% chance that he was going to die for you. As an individual, as a person, he was going to die for you. And he came anyway. Not many of us would die for a stranger. Not many of us would die for somebody that would pull the hair out of our face. Not many of us would die for somebody that whooped and beat us. And Jesus stood up on that cross and he looked at him and said, Father, forgive him. Forgive the one who just put a hole in me. Forgive the one who held the hammer. Forgive the one who beat the crown of thorns into my head. Forgive the one who offered me vinegar. Forgive the one who pronounced the sentence. Forgive the one whose sin I'm bearing. Jesus said, forgive him. He knew what he was facing. But he also knew what the outcome was going to be. Zechariah said that whenever he came in Jerusalem, that he had salvation. Jesus knew what the outcome was going to be. He knew that he was taking the chances of salvation for you and I from 0 to 100% if we will but believe. This morning, how sure are you that you're saved? Are you 50%? Raise your hand if you're 50% sure if you're saved. We need to talk after church. Anybody at 75? 80? 99? 99% is pretty good odds. Right? 99% is pretty good odds. You could end up in hell if you're only 99% that you're saved. If you're 99% sure that you're saved, you could end up in hell. I don't know if what you have is real. I know that if you don't have Jesus, that it's not. This morning... This Christ that you're going to hear about on social media and probably on the news, and people are going to make it about Easter eggs and bunny rabbits and parades and horse races and all this. Easter is about Jesus. Every day of our life is about Jesus. He came and he lived a life that was perfect on this earth so that us who are imperfect through him could have eternal life. Through him could have salvation. So through him, we could be saved. And not part of the way saved, not almost saved, not perhaps we're going to be saved eventually. So that you can know that you're saved. This morning you either do or you don't. You know that you're saved. 100% you know that you're saved. Or you're gambling on eternity. That's the two places you're in this morning. You know that you're saved. And not because you had a feeling. Not because you remember the day. Not because somebody told you. Not because you followed the script. But because you had an experience with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ changed your life. Because you believed in Him to the saving of your soul. And you now have a new relationship with Him and with the sin that you once loved. You can know that you're saved because the Holy Spirit that now dwells within you. Because you're a changed man. Because you're a changed woman. The Holy Spirit will bear witness that you are a child of God. This morning, if you don't have that, we need to talk. More importantly, you and God need to talk. You need to believe in that Jesus. You need to repent of your sin. You need to trust the Jesus that we're celebrating this time of year. It's the easiest, hardest thing you will ever do in your life. Because it is so simple. But it is so hard to turn loose of, well, I've already told the church that I was saved. I've already been baptized. I can't do it again. I'm pretty sure that I have this experience, this prayer that I prayed. I'm pretty sure that I'm okay, that I'm all right, that I'm going to make it. I can't speak for everybody in this church. But pretty sure ain't enough for me to gamble my eternity. Pretty sure leaves a margin that you can go to sleep in your bed and wake up in hell. I don't want that for anybody. I want you to be absolutely sure. The Word of God says that we can be absolutely sure this morning. Are you absolutely sure? I don't want you to be a gambler in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but especially not with eternity. Know that you're saved. Prove that you're saved. Make sure that there's evidence that you're saved. I had a swarm of bees yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Day before yesterday, too. They swarmed out of one of my hives and found themselves up in a tree. And I went up there and I said, I'm going to catch them. Had my bee suit on. Bees can't get to me. I'm covered, completely covered, all the way down, all the way around. I'm taken care of. Nothing can get to me. I was 99.9% covered. 99.9. You know where them bees went to? That 1%. I got up in that tractor bucket and got to cutting that limb. And whenever I cut that limb, it rattled the limb. The bees went crazy. I had my hands stretched way up. But what happens when you're wearing a jacket and you stretch your hands way up? Right there. All the way around with that jacket come loose from my pants. And bees found that 1%. Guess what I'm going to do if I go catch a swarm again? I'm going to make sure it's 100%. This morning, I want to make sure that you're 100%. I want you to make sure without a doubt that you are saved. That you know it, that you're sure, that you're guaranteed that there's nobody that can talk you out of it. And not because of a feeling, but because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Because you are bearing fruit, because your life has changed, you are a child of God. And this morning, if you're not saved, if you're not sure, Jesus Christ said, come. He was nailed up on that cross and His arms was opened up, just waiting for you. Come. Believe in Him this morning and He'll save you to the uttermost. On behalf of verse for something.